Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me for the first time John Anderson. He's the chairman of Triumph Gold. John is, as I mentioned, the chairman of the company, and he has over 20 years of capital market experience specializing in resource sector. He was the founder and financier of many startup companies with the experiences that have traded on the NYSE, the TSX, NASDAQ, etc. He was a founder of Deep Six PLC, American Eagle Oil and Gas, as well as a founding general partner in Aquastone Capital LLC. It's a New York-based gold fund. And John has raised more than $35 million for Triumph Gold, formerly Northern Free Gold, a company that I had actually followed in my newsletter under that prior team. But a lot of really good things happening under John, which is why I'm really glad to have him with us today. Thank you for joining me today, John.
Jay, thank you very much for inviting me for the radio program.
Really, really good to have you, and it was great to meet up with you in Vancouver a few weeks back as well. I should mention, you trade in Toronto under the symbol TIG. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol TIGCF. I have 81 million shares outstanding, about a rat's hair, trading at a rat's hair, according to Michael Oliver, who just told us a rat's hair is about 30 cents. You're trading at 30 cents U.S., giving you what I think is a minuscule market cap of $24 million, one that I think our listeners should pay some attention to, and I think they will after they hear what you have to say about your company. Well, we talked to Tony Barossa, your lead geologist, a really brilliant young PhD geologist that has, I know you hold him in high esteem. He was on our show about 6 weeks ago, actually. The previous company that explored your Free Gold Mountain project had some success, no question about that, I think, in outlining more than 4 million gold equivalent ounces in three different deposits. But what they found then was certainly not economic, at least not for the prices at that time. But under your direction, you have assembled a new team of geologists, Tony Barossa, one of them, who have looked at Free Gold Mountain differently than in the past. Can you talk a little bit about the approach that your exploration geologists are taking in exploring this Free Gold Mountain project?
Yeah, sure. The introduction to the project was bang on. It is a company that was more of a victim of timing as opposed to results. The company used to be called Northern Free Gold, which you alluded to. I was an investor in it, and in the bottom of the market in 2014, when the company was destitute, I came in and took it over with some other investors and backstopped the financial position of the company. So we cleaned up the balance sheet. And what the company has is a district-size exploration project. It does have 43 101 deposits, three of them, totaling, as you said, about 4 million ounces gold equivalent. But those are ounces of gold. They're all at surface. They're easily accessible. They will be mined one day. But they are ounces that are more relative at a higher gold price, so a very leveraged play. That's why we backed this story. The company had over 80 years of work done on it under Northern Free Gold and subsequently to me coming in, and we've now got a book value of well over $55 million and a company that trades about $30 million market cap. Mm-hmm. When we brought Tony in independently, who was on your program, Tony is our vice president of exploration, but before he became that, we asked myself and one of our institutional investors wanted to look at the project independently. So something that if you had a project that's five times the size of Manhattan and we've been focusing on these low-grade deposits, what else is there? It's a magnitude project. It's geologically located along the Big Creek Fault in the Yukon that mm-hmm. hosts these very large deposits. Minto's mine, Capstone Mining, they have their Minto mine that's been operating for years. You've got the coffee deposit that Goldcorp paid $520 million for, just 40 miles northwest of where we are. You got Western Copper that trades at $150 million market cap, and they're not active in their project. And we've got our mm-hmm. our rinky-dinky, embarrassingly market cap. How do we expose some value for this? What's the potential? So Tony was hired independently before we hired him now as our vice president of exploration, because he came back with different eyes. And that's, Jay, all it is he had a different approach to it. And mm-hmm. he came up with all these different exploration potential ideas that would be relevant at a low gold price. And so 2017, he was, we attracted Goldcorp to invest in our company. They bought 20% of the company at that time. They invested $6.3 million. We expended about $3 million of that in the first year. And Tony followed up. And when you say hold him in high regard, he came up with five ideas and he hit on four of them. And mm-hmm. and it was exciting from our standpoint. So this year, 2018, we followed up on those four exploration ideas and came up with even more exploration ideas. But what's driving the price of the stock now? I know we're in a correction, but why it was performing this year so well is Tony stepped outside of the zone and he saw this big potential. I think he alluded to it in your last radio program as these rabbits at surface and these mm-hmm. low-grade things. But these are serious rabbits. They're 500,000-ounce rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
And his theory was underneath, just looking at the age of the rocks and the different types of mineralization, there's got to be a source for it. And this year we confirmed that with what's called this blue sky zone, which obviously created a lot of excitement west of one of the deposits, we came up with something. And these were the highest grade, deepest porphyry drill holes ever drilled in the Yukon. And that's really what's created the excitement.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, what was it, like 150 or 170? I can't remember exact intercept, but well over an ounce of gold equivalent. Or not an ounce, a gram of gold equivalent.
Gram equivalent. So that was originally the Wow Breccia, which is adjacent, and the Wow is WAU, which is tungsten-hosted tungsten gold. Those are the element signals or signs for tungsten gold. And we hit 140 meters of 1.33 grams per ton gold equivalent. That mm-hmm. was exciting. And then another half kilometer away, we hit the blue sky zone, and those were the deepest holes where we went down 600 meters. We had 230-meter, 300-meter intersections that head over a gram and a half of gold or a gram and a quarter gold plus copper of about 0.3%. So for the copper, you know, mining companies, they love this. This is over 1% copper equivalent. Gold equivalent would be 2 grams of gold. It's a gold-biased system, and that's created the obviously the excitement in the stock price and with the investor interest. But what's more interesting is those holes, when I said they were the deepest holes and the richest holes in a porphyry deposit or a porphyry project drilled in the Yukon, that's as far as we've gone. So subsequently to getting those results, Tony engaged a deep IP survey. That's a deep radiometric survey that goes down almost a mile. And we're waiting for those results, and those should give us a pretty good indication of where the source for all these little rabbits are. And as Tony says, there's got to be a big elephant down there. And these are the elephant deposits that make the big mining companies big, long-life producers like the Freeport-McMoRan's, those type of things. So when people have been saying this year that we turn the way, you know, geology's looked at the Yukon, it's really the depth of deposits that are being discovered. And all the kudos to Tony for coming up with the concept and proving the concept right. Now we just want to take it, you know, a couple steps further next year.
So you think you're getting closer to the source of these rabbits through this blue sky porphyry? Is that the theory?
That's exactly it. That's uh-huh. exactly it. And then another 3 miles away, over what's called the Kirsten Zone, we've drilled holes that are 600 meters deep. They didn't run incredible grade like the blue sky did, but it's the same type of rock. Mm-hmm. And so the theory is that this is one large system that sits under a 6 square kilometer, a really intense soil anomaly. And we know that, through drilling that it's shallow and you've got all these rabbits, and hopefully this IP survey that we should be getting in the next month will prove that this is a giant elephant that we're gonna go after.
So the IP survey and within the next month, you say, and then you have some more drill results, I think, too, yet from your program last year, right?
Yeah, correct. As I said, Tony came up with 4 discoveries last year, and his crew. And it's not just Tony. Tony's got an incredible group behind him. During the field season, we have over 30 people on site, and we have very qualified geologists. They're just led by Tony. Following up on those 4 exploration ideas, one of the ones that we came up with was something that was found by the placer. There's a lot of placer miners on the property, and
yes,
when they go through their property, they go down to bedrock and expose geological structures, and then they mine them out, and anything down to bedrock they get, and we get the deep rock stuff. This Irene zone that was found by the placer miners in 2013. Was never followed up by previous management, mainly because of lack of funds at that time. However, Tony drilled it this year, and it had a strike length of about 140 meters, which I don't know how many of your listeners know what that means. A lot of mines are just 140 meters wide.
Sure. Yeah.
We've extended it to 400 meters, and we're very confident that we've picked up that same vein a couple miles away, and so we're going to,
wow,
you know, prove that theory up. And once we get those assays back, we'll publish the results from it. But there's a lot going on this property, and that's that's what's creating a lot of excitement. Not just the big porphyry, you've got all these high grade systems that are coming off, and it's really nice to see it finally come together.
Okay, so you still have drill results coming from your 2018 program. How soon do you expect you'll put together your plans for 2019? Could we look forward to that in January or something like that? And how soon can you start drilling in the Yukon? Where you are?
Good question. Realistically, you know, exploration is a process. So as soon as you get your data, you don't run around and start ordering drills, and you've got to analyze it. And this is what Tony's done a very great job, you know, methodical job with Jesse and Emily Hale, who are involved, you know, in our team as well. And then once we get that IP survey, we know that's going to be the big target. So the idea is to drill the deepest holes ever in that Western Cordillera down, you know, hopefully a kilometer and a half. That's the goal. But until we get that IP survey, we don't know. Based on the other exploration successes we had that we've already released and more stuff we've got coming out, we'll put together a plan over the holiday season with a plan of telling the market what we plan on doing, you know, call it late January. As far as drilling, you can drill 12 months of the year there. It's not as remote as most people think. We're actually one of the properties that's blessed with government infrastructure. We've got a government-maintained road that goes to our property and through our property, and it's being upgraded by the federal government as part of their initiative to increase the infrastructure within the Yukon, where our road is actually being upgraded to a 2-lane, 50-mile-an-hour road. Gives us a huge advantage and cost benefit when we're doing work there. But until we get those results, and budget, you know, then we'll know what we're going to be doing. But as far as drilling, you can go 24/7 there. It's just it becomes a little more costly with heating your water, but you can't operate there all time of year.
All right, very good. So we'll be looking forward. How well funded are you to at this point in time? Are you going to have to raise any more money anytime soon? If you're drilling those deep holes, is it going to be expensive?
They are good catch. So we've been drilling down to 600 meters. They're about 250 meters a hole to drill. When you get down below that 600 meter down to a kilometer and a half, you're almost doubling your cost, if not more.
Sure.
But I think once we get the survey out and the plan, raising that money will not be an issue. And I think your listeners look at the history of this company. Since I got involved, we have not had any problem raising money. We do have money now. We're not desperate by any means. We've got over $1 million in the bank. I've got warrant holders that are willing to exercise warrants that would easily fund next year's program if we wanted to. But I, just like Michael was saying on your previous guest, it's a terrible market. I'm not out having to raise money, and I'm fortunate I'm not having to raise money, and I'm not going to dilute my stock, as you mentioned, at a red hair price.
Absolutely.
You know,
well, look,
I want three red hairs.
We're just about out of time here, so we do have to conclude now. But one thing I wanted to ask you, I think you probably work fairly closely with Goldcorp's technical people as well. Tony probably interacts with them on a regular basis.
Yeah, actually, we just had our quarterly meeting last Friday, and went exceptionally well. I think, you know, they're not going to tell the public what they think, but if you look at everything they've invested in the last couple of years, we are the only one that they're above water in, and it's completely because of the technical program that Tony has been running and the project, and they've been very, very, they've been a fantastic shareholder. Absolutely fantastic.
Right. Yeah, well, having the right capital structure is very important, and I know that's one of your strengths is being able to attract money, and the right kind of shareholders, certainly the ones that are going to stay there for the building of something significant. Tony, I want to thank you very much for being with us. We do have to go to break now, and look forward to speaking with you and keeping up with your story. It is my favorite, one of my favorites, one of my top holdings personally, so I'm talking out of vested interest as well, John. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Great, thanks, Jay, and I look forward to talking to you in the new year when we've got a lot more to talk about.